and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden arrived in Tel Aviv this morning and spoke alongside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Americans are worried because we know this is not an easy field to navigate, what you have to do.
His visit comes on the heels of a massive blast at a hospital in Gaza City. Hamas Health Ministry says at least 500 people were killed.
I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you.
Doctors have been performing surgery on wounded victims on hospital floors with no anesthesia. Israel and Hamas are pointing fingers at each other. Correspondent Ian Lee.
Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas blamed Israeli airstrikes for the explosion, calling it a war crime.
Those responsible for this crime should face justice and should face accountability.
The situation sparked angry protests in multiple Middle Eastern countries, including Jordan and Lebanon, where the State Department has issued a do not travel advisory.
Jordan has canceled scheduled talks between President Biden, King Abdullah, the Palestinian, and Egyptian presidents. Lawmakers in Washington will try again today to elect a House Speaker after Jim Jordan fell far short of the votes he needed yesterday. Republican Senator Mitt Romney tells CBS.
The great majority of the Republicans in the House, I think, would like to have someone that represents the mainstream of our party. Jim Jordan represents a small part of the party, but a very vocal part of the party.
Jordan is a close ally of former President Trump's. The body count's growing at a Colorado funeral home. KKTV's Adam Acheson.
The Colorado Bureau of Investigation announced that at least 189 bodies have now been removed from the Return to Nature funeral home in Penrose. Now, originally they said at least 115, but authorities have been working for days now and the total has changed.
More new stuff coming to X, the platform we used to call Twitter, is charging new subscribers in New Zealand and the Philippines $1 a year for basic features like posting content and liking other people's posts. Elon Musk says he's trying to combat bots and spam accounts. And there's a new Mr. October.
And he sends Allen to right, hit deep. Carroll turns and it's gone.
Kyle Schwarber hit two homers, tying Reggie Jackson for the most dingers by a left-hander in postseason history with 18. In a 10-0 rout of the D-backs, puts the Phils two wins away from another National League pennant. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative NBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers today, otherwise overcast. High temperatures reach up to 61, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows dip down to about 47. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 56, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 48.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
But it isn't that to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 18th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, by podcast or by social media, nice to have you here in the state of Wiscommon Sense. We're going to unpack the news for you, and we're going to start it pretty early because there is so much to deal with today, including what some folks might say is a real power play in Madison. It's not. It's a tantrum. It was an unprecedented display by legislative Republicans on Tuesday of complete and total disdain for citizen service in Wisconsin and for the will of the voters. Republicans in the state Senate on Tuesday, for no decent reason whatsoever, fired eight of Governor Tony Evers' appointees. In one case, so many people on the state Natural Resources Board that it was left without a quorum, without the ability to do its job. One of the people fired included our normal Wednesday visitor, Melissa Baldoff, who is a domestic abuse survivor and who was serving as co-chair of the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse. We're going to talk to her a little earlier than usual this morning. She's going to tell us about the sexism put on display by at least one senator, himself a former police chief, in handling her nomination and subsequent removal from the Domestic Abuse Council. Melissa then, of course, will stick around and we'll talk about issues related to a changing climate and what that means for Wisconsin. Then in our next hour, another big story. It deals with a lawsuit that was filed last week, one we've known was coming for a while. And it's official now, and it is a lawsuit that seeks to drive a stake through the heart of the voucher school program that was created and encouraged by those looking to undermine Wisconsin public schools to the extent that it has become a second parallel school system in Wisconsin that taxpayers have to pay for, that they shouldn't have to pay for. The state constitution calls for one school system that taxpayers are responsible for. This lawsuit doesn't look to get rid of private education in any way, shape, or form, but says if you want to go to private school, you pay your own freight. There's one school system that Wisconsin taxpayers should be responsible for. We will talk to the lead plaintiff in there, Julie Underwood, and Heather Dubois-Bornon of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also going to get the updated weather forecast. We're going to talk to Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids later this hour when we do today's history lesson and music segment. And then we will wrap things up, as we often do on Wednesdays, by talking to Todd Alba, whose show airs on the Civic Media Radio Network from 1 to 3 in the afternoons. Temperatures across Wisconsin right now about 15 degrees warmer than yesterday, and that's a relief. It is 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's 49 in Madison. It's 49 in Hayward. It's 48 in La Crosse and Wisconsin Rapids. It's 45 in Waukesha and Wausau. And the cool spot across the Civic Media radio network of stations would be in Green Bay, where it is 42 degrees right now. As we get into things here, if you have questions or comments, there's a couple of different ways where you can have input. You can call us up live at 844-967-2789. Happy to talk to you. Happy to answer any questions. Keep in mind as well that that same phone number isn't just for calls. You can text us as well at that same number, 844-967-2789. You can do both of those as well through the Civic Media app. Put that on your phone and you can text or call us, and we'll mention the texts as they come in. Same goes for the comments. If you hear something as you watch us on a live feed on Facebook, just put a comment there right underneath the live video feed. We'll see it, maybe put it up on screen, maybe respond to that as well. So as I said, we have a lot of ground to cover today. We cannot forget, though, as always, a tip of the cap and a note of thanks to Sam Davison, who's standing by down in Madison, flipping all the knobs and switches and keeping this radio circus on the air with all the plates spinning. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing pretty good.
I think it's a function of the darkness, you know, this early in the morning.
I was up a little late the past couple nights too, but.
Oh yeah. The night before I had just a wicked case of insomnia. Mm. So yeah, it's getting dark earlier. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're still trying to stay up a little late, it kind of comes back to bite you every now and then, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. We'll work through it.
Now, by chance, was it related to the engine rebuilding project that you've got going, or
no?
Other things happening.
I work part time at a theater on the UW campus. I run film projectors.
Oh,
so, I was out there doing that.
Film project. So not everything is computerized yet, huh? There's still a projector that needs to be run.
Well, I mean, they only do it for like specialty events or like mm-hmm. last screenings, but. Here and there, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. And then I suppose you get free popcorn as one of the perks
if they make
shop,
it, yeah.
Right? All right. Well, good. But unfortunately, yeah, there's not a lot of matinees anymore. People want to see these things in the evening and keeps you up a little bit past your normal bedtime, I would imagine.
Oh, tad. Not too bad, though.
Okay, that's all right. We'll manage to keep each other awake through the day until the sun rises here and we really get going on this Wednesday. It's October 18th. And again, when we come back, we'll really get into things with Republican legislators and their petty and unprecedented firing of gubernatorial appointees. We'll briefly touch on some of the other headlines of the day, a little bit of sports and more coming up. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. And we'll be back on Lake Wissota after this.
When you think of pizza, do you think of a ham roll-up pizza? This off-the-wall culinary masterpiece will keep you coming back. Who makes this fresh, mouth-watering pizza? Club Forest Bar and Grill on Highway 54. Their ham roll-up pizza features ham and pickles with a cream cheese sauce. Yum! Don't sit in the kitchen and cook during the next pregame. Call Club Forest Bar and Grill, 715-345-1220, and let them do the work for you. Club Forest Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Pet of the Week with James Maylock, every Thursday at 9 a.m. Youth sports are community sports. When you run into an old friend while you're cheering on your local team,
hi there,
or making your way back to your seat and asking what you missed,
miss.
Youth Athletics brings the community together. Help us support local high school and amateur sports by joining our team of amazing sponsors. Call Ashley today at 715-496-0710. That's 715-496-0710. And join us as we continue to keep our community connected.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta potty. Don't let the thought of a porta potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks, and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're going to hear in our little history lesson and music break later this hour, I'm going to be rattling off a whole bunch of songs, just song titles. I don't have time to play all of the clips because we're going to be mentioning two different legendary songwriters who were born on this day in history, and then tell you just the wide range of music that they put together. Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again is one of them that we'll be talking about in just a little bit, so stick around. Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids will join us for that segment coming up at about 6:50. Very briefly in sports, the National League Baseball playoffs, the Phillies beat up on Arizona last night 10-0. Phillies up 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. The American League Championship Series resumes tonight in Dallas with Houston taking on the Texas Rangers. Houston's already up 2-0 in that series as well. The Up North News daily newsletter is out. Today's edition talks about the drive to plant 75 million trees across Wisconsin, one of the things that we can do to continue ensuring a healthy climate. The newsletter talks about 11 scenic drives that you can take around Wisconsin, and fall colors would be the perfect time for that. And then my editorial column about the anti-trans bills that have made their way through the legislature, including a bill that was passed by the state Senate yesterday, limiting the rights of transgender youth and their families. The headline being that, you know, in the end, hate won't win, but for the moment, the voices of hate have a very big megaphone, and they are running the Wisconsin legislature right now. More about that in just a sec, but I also want to mention in passing, the assembly passed a bill yesterday that would help renovate American Family Field and keep the Brewers in the ballpark for the next several years. That bill now moves on to the state Senate. There was a new candidate announced for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District across western Wisconsin and part of central Wisconsin. His name is Eric Wilson. He's from Eau Claire. He becomes the 5th Democrat to announce for that primary to potentially run against Republican Derek Van Orden. We will talk to Eric Wilson in our 7 a.m. hour on Friday. And one more note out of the news internationally, and I know we got this on the text line yesterday, where somebody asked if we could help explain all the contradictory stories about what's happening in the Middle East. Is it, you know, Israelis who are, you know, bombing Gaza? We heard about that terrible tragedy yesterday with an explosion at a hospital in Gaza that killed hundreds. Was that Israel? Was that a Hamas rocket that misfired? Was it a completely separate group, Islamic Jihad, that is trying to undermine and inflame tensions in the area? And the only thing that bothers me more than everybody speculating about it is that we don't know. We don't know yet. And yet a lot of people are willing to point fingers. It is, of course, a place where, you know, tension is raw, emotions are high. It's a war zone, and it's a conflict that's been going on since long before we got here, and we have had in fits and starts an ability to bring periods of peace to the region. We are not there at this moment. President Biden is in Israel this morning. We're going to let those talks continue and have events play themselves out and take more time at a future date to try to get to some of the building blocks that would help all of us understand this and come to our own political conclusions, but hopefully come to the same humanitarian conclusion that we should do whatever we can to minimize civilian casualties in this war. So we'll save that for another time. Okay, also on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, you will see my story about what Republicans did yesterday in the state Senate. The Republicans can confirm gubernatorial nominees whenever they like. In other words, a governor appoints people to head up departments, agencies, boards. And in Wisconsin, you don't have to wait for Senate confirmation. You start doing those duties right away. But then whenever the Senate gets around to taking a vote, if they vote not to confirm you, then that means essentially you're fired. It's very much, and let's be clear about this, this is a perverse way of handling Senate confirmations. But nobody has thought to change it in all of these many, many years because nobody had blatantly abused the process. Until Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature after Tony Evers was elected governor. Republicans are still sitting on more than 100 nominations, choosing not to confirm them so that essentially they have the power to fire them at any given point. They've done that with a cabinet secretary, Brad Paff, when he was heading up the state agriculture department. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees, not for any high crimes or misdemeanors or malfeasance or anything, just because they're petty and they can do it. And I would urge everybody, the reason I am spending so much time emphasizing this is to not normalize it. Since 1981, the state Senate has only rejected 5 gubernatorial appointments. Governors are duly elected by Wisconsin voters. Governors should get to choose their agency heads, barring actual misdeeds. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff. She is a former aide to Governor Evers, but she's also a former domestic abuse survivor. Governor Evers just called all of this a disregard for democracy. And he's absolutely right. And so I talked to Melissa late yesterday and asked her to recount the tale of how she came to be on the council and what happened next.
Back in 2019, I was appointed to by the governor to serve on the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse in a role that is, one of the roles that's reserved for survivors. I am a survivor of domestic abuse, something I've, had to deal with for a long time, even though I'm very happily remarried now, something that stays with you a long time, the trauma, and with my kids. And being able to be involved in this council was for me, like for so many survivors who get involved in advocacy, really, one way to, work towards healing and to regain your voice. And so I was first appointed in 2019, was reappointed last year. They never confirmed me the first time. And then they took up both of my appointments and decided to vote me down because Senator Jesse James said basically that I was mean to some of his colleagues in tweets. I'm personally disappointed to not get to serve in this role. It's been very fulfilling for me. But, the broader concern I have is the kind of chilling effect it has on survivors, because the message is to shut up, to be quiet. If they aren't going to like what you say, the tweets he took offense to were ones where I called out racism and homophobia and transphobia and misogyny. And I won't apologize for calling those things out.
Okay. I want to make sure I have this straight because I'm hearing this for the first time. You're saying the person leading the voices, rejecting your being able to continue serving on a domestic violence panel was Senator Jesse James, the former police chief of Altoona, who knows a thing or two about this issue, and my words, not yours, might have an idea of how that looks, but apparently went ahead and did it anyway. That's the Senator Jesse James we're talking about here?
That's who chaired the committee, and they first voted me down in committee, yes. So I kind of led that charge there. And actually, had a conversation with him several months prior to being voted down in committee, where he, you know, had a stack of my tweets printed out and told me he had some concerns about them, asked me if I hated all men, asked me if I felt like I was emotional when I made my tweets. But once we got through
that, he said that?
Oh, he sure did. He sure did. Wow. And after we got through all that, however, I held my tongue because doing that kind of work is really important to me. And it's a place where I set politics and partisanship aside. And after that, we had, I thought, a very, you know, productive conversation. We spoke at length about the role of law enforcement. You know, I relayed my experience that I, you know, the several times that I have had to call law enforcement in the past, you know, my interactions were very positive. I shared my concern for law enforcement officers and first responders generally. You know, they're often going into dangerous situations. And, you know, we just saw earlier this week a report come out from End Abuse of Wisconsin talking about the 20% increase in domestic violence homicides in Wisconsin. We are one of the worst states. Further data will come out federally in about a month. But as of last year, we were the seventh worst state in the country for domestic violence homicides. Because of our 20% increase, that number is expected to get even worse this year. And, you know, most of those homicides, the overwhelming majority of those homicides are gun related. And also that counts gun suicides as well. So, you know, the report also detailed the significant underfunding that is happening to domestic violence programs. They are experiencing tens of millions of dollars in shortfall. And instead of dealing with any of that, they want to send a message to a lady they don't like. So it's just, I think it's very representative of the way they're acting broadly.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but can we still be, what, disappointed, almost shockingly so in cases like yours?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it just goes to show that, you know, there's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. And every time I thought that, they found a way to, you know, let the bar sink a little bit lower. So, you know, I think that's going to continue to be the case, you know, here in Wisconsin, in D.C., where you got, you know, our six congressmen voting for an insurrectionist to be speaker. You know, it's like you don't think that it could get worse. And yet it does.
And yet it does indeed. Melissa Baldoff will join us on the other side of the break to talk more about our usual weekly climate segment. But let me take the rest of this segment to note some of the other firings yesterday, including former legislators. You talk about having any type of legislative professional courtesy? No. Joseph Czarnecki, former Milwaukee County Clerk, former state rep, former state senator, was fired from the Wisconsin Elections Commission for standing up to the Republican imaginary firing of Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. By firing members of the Natural Resources Board, it has been unable to meet or act until the governor names new members, something the governor did do right away. Sheldon Wasserman, an OBGYN and former state senator and chair of the Medical Examining Board, was fired yesterday as well for having the audacity to stand up for women's reproductive health rights. And there was a gentleman who was let go from a board that hears challenges to decisions on where to build livestock facilities because of opposition by business groups. Don't normalize this, folks. This is a Saturday night massacre of Wisconsin proportions that nobody needs to tolerate. Back after this, you're up north.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew details at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner, and I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers today, otherwise overcast. High temperatures reach up to 61, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows dip down to about 47. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 56, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 48.
Tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back now, and we're going to re-engage with Melissa Baldoff on the things that she's working for these days, which oftentimes involve a changing climate and things that we can do, the ideas, the policies that are all out there that can, you know, stop making the problem worse and maybe, you know, mitigate some of the damage and think about solutions as well. And as we looked at what's been new here, I you know, want to come maybe briefly touch on the anniversary of the 73 OPEC oil embargo in just a sec here. But I'm going to start with kind of where we left off in the last segment. A Republican Party, a right wing in this country, so filled with conspiracy theories that it is one of the obstacles to working on climate solutions. You see this firsthand. You've certainly seen conspiracies and misinformation firsthand in the state capitol here. How big a problem is that? How big a challenge is it to engage in conversations about climate solutions when you're having to knock down conspiracies and falsehoods?
It's a really big challenge, and for a couple of reasons. One, we, all talk about, kind of rise and the spread of misinformation and disinformation on social media. And a lot of that happens organically. You think about, your uncle who, or your aunt who, shares a meme on Facebook that you're just like, oh my gosh, how could you possibly think this is true? But, that kind of information is spreading around organically on social media and people are talking about it. But then the other thing that's really, insidious about the misinformation and disinformation when it comes to climate change is that there are some real dollars behind this. You have, some organizations out there, sometimes paid for by the fossil fuel industry, that are spending a lot of money to very intentionally spread this disinformation to, people who are vulnerable, to people who, they think might be, ripe for receiving it and sharing it. So, it's not just that it's sharing around organically, it's that there's oftentimes a whole lot of money and coordinated strategy behind getting that disinformation to people. And that's something that's incredibly challenging to work against, when they're so well funded.
And they're going up against, by and large, people who they may be scientists, they may be researchers, they deal with facts, they just want to work to get the facts out there. They're not involved in, marketing and public relations. And so it seems like they're often kind of at first put back on their heels that they can't believe they have to knock down all of this bad information. But the time that it takes to do that is time that takes away from working toward a solution and working to let people know what some of the problems, challenges, and opportunities are.
Exactly. I mean, you think about how long it's taken us, as a society to get to a place where, a significant majority of people in America believe that climate change is real. It wasn't that long ago that we had a whole lot of people who really did not believe in the science behind climate change. And yes, we still have people who don't believe that it's real. And unfortunately, many of them are in elected office, making decisions in the Republican Party. But, we are to a place where the fringe position is not believing the science, but they're really able to amplify that fringe position and, use it to spread disinformation about things that people don't have a really thorough understanding about yet. So people do believe in climate change. They know it's a problem. They know it's a serious problem. They want to do something about it. But, the science can be complicated and it's not as easy to explain some of those things in, like you said, in a marketing campaign, in a soundbite. And then you've got, people out there like, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, going on and on about the Green New Deal is going to criminalize cow farts and all these ridiculous things they talk about. And that's the kind of thing like that just sticks with people. They hear it and it's like, oh, well, that's like, maybe it's not that bad, but it's kind of bad. And to explain the real science and the real facts is a little harder.
Let me get to one of the new ones here. Again, not to spread other people's misinformation, but trust me, to lift it up so we can knock it down. And that is about something in urban planning conversations called 15-minute cities, designing living spaces in a way that you can access a lot of your amenities in a short walk or a bike trip or a trip on public transport. We were just talking to Chad Holmes yesterday about what's happening in downtown Wausau and trying to develop that. And certainly Chippewa Falls is the same way. Other cities the same way, where we're seeing more amenities that take fewer car rides. That's a net positive. And yet now there's a conspiracy theory saying this is some kind of a plot to restrict people's movements or trap them in an open air prison. I mean, Joe Rogan, of course, was talking about this, needing government permission to leave an area. The kinds of things you cannot believe that other people believe, and yet it's out there in what would otherwise be a completely wholesome and nice idea for urban planning.
Right. I was, you know, when you shared that with me this before we, you know, got into this segment here, I was not familiar with this particular conspiracy theory. And oh my gosh, is it bonkers? I mean, this is, I live in Shorewood, Wisconsin. For folks who aren't familiar with the community, suburb just north of Milwaukee on Lake Michigan, 1.5 square mile village. We are just a geographically small town, very dense, but very small. So I live in a 15-minute city. I can get anywhere I need to go walking or on my bike in 15 minutes or, you know, on the bus. And it's great. And I love it. And I know that there are lots of communities, large and small, where people can get around. And that's, you know, way back when people weren't driving cars all the time, people did try to have things clustered in a central area because it makes it easier for people to, you know, do their business and go about their days. I think of so many towns that have a, you know, so are they against main streets? I mean, where you can go grocery shop, go to the hardware store, go to Taylor, whatever you need to do. I mean, it's just bonkers.
And it gets away from the climate, and it gets more into psychology. And the psychology of why people want to believe or so easily believe these things, that they're going to take away your car, they're going to take away your gun, things like that. And again, if you're a climate scientist or an urban planner, you ain't got time for that. And yet that's what we're facing, you know?
Right. No scientist should have to factor what Joe Rogan is saying on a podcast into their work. And yet here we are. And, you know, it does, though, raise a question for me is, do we think that's part of why Aaron Rodgers left? Was Green Bay becoming too much of a 15-minute city for him?
Oh, it could have been. I mean, did he expect there was going to be a moat, you know, maybe an electronic moat around Green Bay, and he wouldn't be able to get out? I can't predict with these folks. I honestly cannot. So I'm going to see if we're going to end this segment on a glass half full or a glass half empty. And I talked about this yesterday, that the OPEC oil embargo from 1973 is now 50 years old, that it was a milestone moment, even for little 9-year-old Pat Kreitlow seeing the long lines at gas stations and people saying, you know, we need to get off of being reliant on foreign oil. Well, that's cut both ways. We now have higher domestic oil production than ever before. But again, we're still on petroleum products. We have embraced more renewable fuels, renewable energy, EVs, all of that. But again, much more slowly than a lot of us would have thought we were going. So to look back on the 50 years, I guess I would say it's a net positive, but there's still so much to do. And I wonder if you agree, or if you look at these 50 years and go, God, so many lost opportunities.
I mean, I think it's a yes and there. You know, we've definitely had missed opportunities, but I do agree with you that we have made some progress. And I think one of the ways, you know, even though we just talked about misinformation, I do think information and education has been really positive, that more people are understanding the need to reduce our reliance on foreign energy sources. And the more that they learn about what those alternative sources of energy are that aren't fossil fuel reliant, you know, they are understanding that, you know, that industry is volatile regardless. It's more volatile when we're reliant on foreign companies to provide it, or foreign governments. But, you know, the energy that we can you know, generate right here, and oftentimes right in our communities, when you see people, you know, with solar and wind, you know, we know that those are going to be so much more reliable and cost effective and really foster that energy independence. And that's something we've talked about before. And, you know, I think it is shifting in the right direction.
I hope so. I feel like that's, you know, the place where we are going ever so slowly. But I just thought that a milestone anniversary like this was a good way to take stock and say, okay, there are things we deserve a pat on the back for, but only for a moment, because there's so much work to be done, including, again, mitigation, which we wouldn't have had to do if we'd have done more things sooner, and including knocking down misinformation. But I'm very glad that we have you here for that, Melissa Baldoff. Thanks so much for all of your extra time today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And again, we thank Melissa for speaking to us in our last segment about being one of those people that Republican senators fired yesterday, dumped from their position. And Governor Tony Evers put out a lengthy statement about it with some background. And it really gets to the nature of this isn't some little political spat. This isn't some little partisan dispute. As he notes, Wisconsin Republicans have consistently refused to confirm Governor Evers' appointees. At the start of his second term, nearly 180 individuals appointed by the governor to lead state agencies and serve on various boards and commissions had not been confirmed. 180. Leaving them unconfirmed for months, even years, without any regard for their professional experience and their background, including public members of various boards and commissions who are volunteering their personal time, their experience, and their expertise to serve the state of Wisconsin. Governor Evers said yesterday to reporters, "This is insanity, and this is an issue of democracy. Republicans have got to stop doing this," he said. "These are good people that they're voting down. These Wisconsinites are educators, healthcare professionals, survivors of domestic abuse, advocates, conservationists. And I don't care," he says, "if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or otherwise, these Wisconsinites are completely qualified to do the job they've been asked to do, and they are volunteering their time, talent, and expertise without pay to serve their neighbors and our state. Harassing them, belittling them, and publicly firing them just because Republicans have decided that's the way they want politics to work these days, that's just plain wrong." And he's absolutely right. As noted previously, prior to this, since 1981, the state Senate had rejected only 5 gubernatorial appointments total. This is a big middle finger, not to the governor, but to voters in Wisconsin who voted for a governor. But this is how they operate now. They're talking about impeaching a state Supreme Court justice. They're talking about impeaching the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. One of the 8 people they fired yesterday was one of the Democratic members on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And in Congress, all 8 Wisconsin Republican members voted for one of the architects of a violent insurrection and an attempt to overturn the will of the voters. The Republican Party is not normal right now. And that's why I want to say again, do not normalize this kind of behavior that is openly hostile to voters who still believe in democracy. We're going to take a break here. We're going to talk to Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR. Then we'll have more about this topic and also that new lawsuit against the voucher school program with a couple of special guests in our next hour. All on Up North News Radio. We'll be right back.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
It's time to lock in your tee time at University Ridge Golf Course. Proud host site of the American Family Insurance Championship and home to the Wisconsin Badger golf teams, University Ridge is a public course that's yours to play without a costly membership. Visit universityridge.com and reserve your 18-hole tee time up to 90 days in advance. Don't have time for 18 holes? Try our 9-hole putting green or hit balls on our grass tee practice range. Play where the Badgers and the pros play. University Ridge.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Let's talk about one of the founding fathers of rock and roll. If there were a Washington's birthday to be celebrated for the rock and roll calendar, that would be today, the birth of Chuck Berry, this day in 1926, 97 years ago. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, joins us on Wednesdays for this little segment. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I thought my uncle wrote this song because this is the first song I danced to at a wedding that his band played at. I was probably like six.
Oh, that's great.
I love this song.
What kind of a band? Like cover band or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool to have a band in the family and be surrounded by live music like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of weddings, I assume? And...
Well, I don't know that the band lasted very long.
Oh, okay.
he plays drums, but.
Yeah. But still, I mean, Chuck Berry, who passed away in 2017, one of the architects of rock and roll. It was on this day in 1867 that the U.S. took possession of Alaska, purchasing it from Russia for, now in hindsight, a measly $7 million, celebrated annually there every day as Alaska Day. And the U.S. took possession of Puerto Rico from Spain on this day in 1898. And one radio note, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, was founded on this day in London, on this day in 1922. So wow. Speaking of radio, not so much the BBC, but over at Locally Grown Radio, know what all you kids got going over there in the middle of our state.
Well, this week we have our legislative breakfast in Wood County, which is exciting. So I will get to go to that. Pam Hilke's coming with me this year, the heart of our station. She is our office administrator and, you know, just keeps everything going. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to enjoy hearing from most likely Representative Krug, Senator Patrick Keston, and Representative Vandermeer is usually there. I'm hoping Katrina Shanklin shows up. That would be awesome.
That would be especially given not just Representative Shanklin's entry into the race for Congress, but what we just talked about in terms of Republicans firing eight Tony Evers appointees. So that could be a very interesting breakfast, depending on who all shows up.
It could be. Mm-hmm.
We'll see who does. Now, I'm going to play George Benson's On Broadway in the background here. Actually, Sam is. He's about to hit the button while I talk
Sam.
About. Hey. No, you can't wave at her. Oh, it's a radio show.
I didn't realize you were asking me a question or something. Sorry.
she said, "Hey, Sam."
Oh,
and,
hi.
And you just gave
Hello.
A nice little wave, which everybody on Facebook appreciated. That's so great. Now, again, I wouldn't dare ask Sam to play all of these tunes. So I just want to rattle these off for the both of you, Sam and Melissa, because of two legendary songwriters who have birthdays today. Both have since passed. In fact, Cynthia Weil just died this past June at age 82. She was born this day in 1940. She worked with her husband, Barry Mann. And along with On Broadway, here's what Cynthia Weil and her husband worked on, Barry Mann. You've Lost That Love and Feeling, and You're My Soul and Inspiration by the Righteous Brothers. We Got to Get Out of This Place by the Animals. Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton. Just Once by James Ingram. Make Your Own Kind of Music by Mama Cass Elliott. Running with the Night, Lionel Richie, whom you heard earlier. Somewhere Out There from Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram. And Don't Know Much with Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt. She and her husband had a long friendship and rivalry with another husband and wife songwriting duo, Carole King and Jerry Goffin. Cynthia Weil, born this day in 1940. Not a bad track record, huh?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Also born, now 7 years later, born this day in 1947, was Laura Nyro. And let's hear a little from the Fifth Dimension, Stone Soul Picnic. Because Laura Nyro gave us a couple of Fifth Dimension hits. There was this one and Wedding Bell Blues. There was Stony End from Barbra Streisand. We'll hear that later. And a couple of tunes from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Eli's Coming and When I Die, one of my own personal favorites. Laura Nyro, unfortunately, passed away far too young, died of cancer at the age of 49 back in 1997. And almost criminally, it took until 2012 until she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, again, two of the greats for not just female songwriters, but songwriters overall, Cynthia Weil and Laura Nyro, born on this day in history. And I think it was just, yeah, Cynthia Weil and her husband, Barry Mann, and Carole King, Jerry Goffin, they worked in the infamous Brill Building, where it was basically, you know, indiscreet building in New York City, where they just cranked out hit after hit. That's all they did all day long was write songs. It was a musical top 40 sweatshop. And I can't even, imagine. But if you ever saw the Carole King musical Beautiful, you get the sense that, like a lot of us, it's a period in your life where you've never worked harder, but you've also never had more fun. And I feel like we've all had kind of a period like that in our lives.
Yeah. Very true. My period of that was when I worked at a high school.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
I was the administrative assistant to the principal.
Okay.
So.
And again, a lot going on there.
Oh, yeah. So
but
much.
But you had fun. For me, it was, my early years at Channel 13, where we used to joke that you got paid in laughter. Because the pay was miserable, but you were almost never not laughing because you were having such a good time, even as you were working your tail off. Sam is going through that right at this very moment. He's sitting here at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's working in the evenings, running a projector,
spinning all the plates. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's everything you dreamed of and more, Sam. Right?
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, good recovery.
I'd say even any job that I've done that fits this even better. I worked at a scout camp over the past 4 summers, and that it's probably like working at a school.
Yeah.
Gets to be a lot, but it's so much fun.
A lot of kids, but it's so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's play a little Ne-Yo in the background because Ne-Yo turns 44 years old today. Meanwhile, Mike Ditka turns 84 today. Happy birthday to Ditka. Wynton Marsalis, 62 years old today, the jazz trumpeter and composer. Legendary skier Lindsey Vonn is 39 today. Actor Zac Efron is 36. And on this day in 2008, Adele was the guest on Saturday Night Live. Nobody really knew her. They were just starting to hear this song, Chasing Pavements. And of course, we would go on to hear so much more about Adele. But part of the reason they say that she got more than a little boost from that SNL appearance was that was the same show Sarah Palin made an appearance. And so there was a huge audience and a lot of exposure for Adele as well. So, again, you don't know the circumstances. Any big, sexy, fun plans for the weekend there, Melissa?
Yeah, we're changing oil in multiple vehicles.
It's going to be one of those winterization weekends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's raking leaves, cleaning out the garage, whatever the case may be.
All those things need to get done too.
For me, it's going to be swapping the soft top off the Jeep, putting on the hard top before the snow falls. So
there you go.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about that potentially landmark lawsuit against the voucher school program next. You're up north.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I just can't.
I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your